His glory, His divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Size Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna signing in live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual epicenter of the universe. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, airing live from the Radio Sai Studios, and the time here right now is 42 minutes past 9 a.m. Indian Standard Time. Today is Thursday, November the 20th, 2014. Right now, Prashanti Nilayam is in the thick of birthday celebrations. As you know, the 89th birthday anniversary of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba will be celebrated in 3 days' time on Sunday, November the 23rd. Already, thousands and thousands of spiritual seekers from everywhere are here. And busloads and trains and taxis are arriving every minute. You can actually smell the joy and the celebrations in the air. And my personal favorite activity is to enjoy the lovely musical programs in the evening while watching the heavenly sights of the mandir, the Yajur Mandir, the Sarvadharma Stupa and the trees around them. They are very beautifully illuminated. And to do this, you have to sometimes sit outside the mandir during the evening program, and I can tell you it's worth it. And what is further helping this picture-perfect weather condition is the fact that we have very cool nighttime temperatures of 19 and daytime maximum around 31. The air is clear and crisp and is sunny most of the time. Every day these days we are enjoying a wonderful lineup of programs, musicals and dance dramas and such. Last night we enjoyed the famous playback singer of the Indian music industry and a lifelong Sai devotee, Ms. Richa Sharma's concert. Day before, it was a simply sweet, melodious and marvelous opportunity to hear Mrs. Kajal Chandi Ramani's program. With Swami's grace, the soul-stirring music programs, dramas and good times will continue over the next few days. I will give you a further update regarding the two ladies who mesmerized us with their singing recently, but that's for later on in the show. Today on Morning Glory, we will reflect on the significance of Ladies' Day that we just celebrated yesterday. And it's going to be a live studio discussion. I have the honor of having two young ladies with me right here, and we'll hear from them shortly. But first, I felt it was important for me to read a few dictums from the Vedas regarding women and their role. Actually, some of us may be under the impression that feminism is a modern Western concept. Well, I ask you to think again after you hear this. The Vedas speak of women as follows, and I quote. The Yajurveda says, 10.03, women should be valiant. Atharvaveda says, women should earn fame. I beg your pardon. Women should earn fame. Women should be scholars, should be illuminating, should be prosperous and wealthy, should be intelligent and knowledgeable, should take part in the legislative chambers. The Rig Veda says, women should be given the lead stage for ruling nation. Women should be given the lead in governmental organizations. And women should have the same right as son over father's property. Going back to Atharva Veda, it says, women should be protector of family and society, provider of wealth and food, provider of prosperity, and should ride on chariots. My personal favorite. I would like to ride a chariot. Why not? Wouldn't we all? Now, women, Yajurveda also says women should participate in war. Now, keeping that in mind, in today's world, we hear of Ladies' Day and feminism and all sorts of advice on work-home balance, priorities and such. And for some of us, this talk may be mere humbug unless it comes from those who have walked the talk and are giving the advice, been there, done it, and from those who have studied the subject very closely and academically. So today, as I said earlier, I am very pleased to welcome two very sincere Sai women to the studio to take part in this conversation. My guests are Anuradha Venkateshwaran and Lalita Pulavarti. Now, I'd like to introduce Lalita Pulavarti. Lalita has a PhD in sociology from Northeastern University, Boston, and an MPH, which is a Master of Public Health, from Boston University. Interestingly, her doctoral dissertation was on the empowerment of grassroots women's organization, so today's topic of discussion is really close to her heart. She has worked in various organizations such as the Boston Police Department for 10 years and in healthcare finance and policy for Commonwealth of Massachusetts, USA. Since moving to Bangalore, India in May of 2011, Lalita is working at the Public Affairs Foundation, a not-for-profit research consultancy working towards better governance in the country. While at the Boston Satya Sai Baba Center, Lalita also served at various times as the Regional Education Coordinator for the SSE program and as Youth Advisor in Region 1. Sairam Lalita, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sairam Karuna, thank you.
And my other guest is Anu Venkateshwaran. Now, by way of introduction, I can tell you that Anu was born into a Sai family that came under the Sai fold in the early 1960s. Anu is a fellow Anandpur College alumna. She joined Baba's Anandpur campus in the year 1992 and graduated with a bachelor's degree in physics. Currently, Anu Venkateshwaran lives in Atlanta, USA with her husband and two middle school age children. Anuradha and her family are actively involved in all wings of the Atlanta Sai Center. She has been an SSC teacher since 1998 and has taught all levels of SSC. Professionally, she works as a systems analyst in the telecom industry. Sairam Anu.
Sairam Karuna Didi, thank you for having me here.
It's great to have you on the show. So let's first take a look at this subject academically. And I pose this question to Lalita. Lalita, women and the workplace. Now, based on your background, what is your experience and take on the concept of women in the workplace?
Sairam Karuna, this seems to be a perennial question that seems to transcend various generations. We see this type of a question among all the women across different generations. But if you think about it, women have always been working. It's not that I don't recall a time when women did not work. It may be domestic duties, it may be. But now what has happened is women have entered the formal workforce.
And they're getting paid. Earlier they were never paid.
But it also means that they have to spend a substantial amount of time away from their home. That is different
than... they have to work twice as much.
Twice. But also that they have to be away physically from their homes. Earlier they might be working around their homes or in the fields close to their homes.
Right.
Now if you're away from home, and then how do you take care of your childcare duties or caregiving duties at home if you're physically away? So this is the confusion. This is where the balance that we talk about is important.
So. I know. That brings me to this very interesting concept of balance. There's so much of literature available, so much of talk about it. Now, Anu, I'd like to pose this question to you. You're a working woman, a mother, a full-time mother, and a full-time working woman, and you run a house, and you're active in your Sai Center. How do you strike a balance between work, home, and the family?
Sairam Didi, I'm sure as a fellow Anandpur alumni, you'll agree that Anandpur was our training ground.
And a tough one, boot
yes,
camp.
Yes, boot camp, yes.
Yes.
You took the words right out of my mouth. You know, we had a very rigorous schedule, and this was prescribed by Swami himself. You know, we had to be, you know, toppers. Academically, we had to be good, and then we had to exercise. We had to manage all the needs in the hostel. Everything was done by us girls.
And you were always running against time.
Absolutely. And it's no different today. As a mother, as a working woman, it's no different. I follow the same principle. There's 24 hours in a day, and I think that's more than enough to take care of everything that's needed. That said, talking about balance, I want to share a personal experience. I'm very actively involved in the Atlanta Center, and oftentimes there are conference calls. So one evening, my son goes, "Oh, there's the phone. That must be Amma's conference call. Dad, you're going to have to fix us dinner." And then it hit me that, you know, maybe I'm not doing a good job with the balancing. And then I decided, you know, I stepped down. I wasn't taking a lot of leadership roles. And I knew that my role as a mom, I was compromising on that. So I just wanted to mention that here.
And yes, Lalita, please go ahead.
I think women are also very hard on themselves when they judge how well they are doing.
Right. I think that's very true.
Yes. And Swami has, you went back to the Vedas and you did a very nice introduction, Karuna. And I remember reading one of Swami's discourses from 1998, which is my all-time favorite discourse. If people want to look it up, it's April 19, 1998 in Kodaikanal. And in that three paragraphs, you read Swami said, I went, oh, you feminist, you, Swami, you know. Amazingly, he...
Could you quote them?
I can quote them. Swami said, initially Swami had said, you know, women's role as primary caregiver is very important. And he's always said it's superior. Yes. Woman as a mother is superior to that of a worker. However, later on, he went on to say that, you know, they say udyogam is purusha lakshanam, as the only males can do jobs. Right? That's a misnomer. Women are also doing work and they do it very well, Swami said. And I lost my train of thought. So,
we'll come back to it. Just hold that thought that Swami said that women are, it's not the prerogative of men alone to be working.
Right. So, okay. Thank you very much for that. So, actually, Swami said, Anu, that if a woman has to do both jobs of inside the home and outside the home, other members in the family should also pitch in. And they should help the woman. So it is okay for your child to say, I think maybe dad will fix me dinner. Because I think, you know, I was very happy for Swami to say that woman has these innate qualities which help her to do work in the home and outside the home. She's very good at both. She has the prema bhavam. She has the tyaga bhavam, right? She has the sahana. So if other members in the family cultivate that prema bhavam and sahana bhavam, that's
love
and compassion and tolerance. And if they contribute and help the woman to accomplish everything, that's perfect.
Now, Anu, as you straddle so many different roles, do you find yourself making sacrifices?
No, sacrifice is a big word. For instance, when my first child was born, I decided to stay home because as a Sai student, Swami had addressed us several times. And he said, I want you to be Griha Lakshmis, not office Lakshmis. And he also said, the first 5 years especially in a child's life, the mother's lap is the university for the child. And as custodians of culture, Bharatiya Samskriti, as Swami says, I felt it was my role to be a caregiver to my child first. So I decided to stay home. Now, I won't call it a sacrifice because I enjoyed every bit of it. I waited for my second child to be ready for pre-kindergarten, and that's when I went back into the workforce. Now, maybe I lost a few dollars here and there, maybe a promotion, but if I were to go back and do it again, I'd do the same thing. I wouldn't change a thing about it.
Oh, I'm glad you're happy with your choices. What's the feedback, Lalita, you hear from women who perform so many different multiple roles?
I think the important word that you just used is choice, right? Every woman should be able to make the choice of when she wants to stay at home and when she wants to work and when she is able to divide her time between work and so I think if women are able to accept that, if we are able to say that this is my choice and I'm happy with this, because finally that's what Swami wants us to be, happy, happy, happy. He says be happy.
Now, you're talking of choice like as though everyone has. There are women who don't have that choice. It's an economic necessity. It's a matter of survival. What would you both say to them? Let's go with you first, Lalita.
So if it is an economic necessity and the family together makes a decision that the woman has to work outside to make ends meet, and I quote this from Swami's same 1998 discourse. He said, there's nothing wrong with a woman working outside. That is her duty. He said, that's a dharma if she has to supplement the family's earnings or even be the main chief wage earner sometimes and not just supplement. So certainly that is a choice too that they make to work outside the home, right, and to help out the family. And the point also is to not be judgmental, we as women too, to not be judgmental about one choice or the other choice, about one economic necessity or spiritual necessity.
I would say, you know, if it comes to that and you'd rather stay home but you have to work, do that as Swami's work also. Swami has said, don't look at this as spiritual work and this as non-spiritual. Be in the moment. Whatever it is you're doing, give your 100% to it and do it well.
So in which case, that takes me to my next question for you, Anu. How do you apply Swami's teachings as a mother, as a wife, a daughter, a sister? You play so many different roles. Every woman does.
In the word Sai, Swami says, Swami comes first, all others next, and I myself come last. Now, I feel of all these roles, my most important role is that of a mother. I feel that way. And Swami has said to our students, you know, it is all right if you don't get marks. I'll excuse you, but don't get remarks. So I tell my children, you know, discipline is important. You have to have sterling character. That is what Swami would want from you. That is what he expected from us, and that is what I expect from you as well. And I tell them, you have to develop that one-on-one connection with Swami. You know, I can eat a piece of Mysore pak and I can enjoy the taste and it melts in my mouth. But somebody else who hasn't tasted it will not understand it. You have to experience it. You have to go through the motions. Mm-hmm. And in one of our summer courses, we extensively read this book, Mahavakya on Leadership, where it says, to be, to do, and then to tell. So as a role model, I try to show them how to live so they can emulate me. I may not be perfect all the time, but I want to try my best to be a good role model for them. And as a family, we involve in service projects. In a lot of families that I know, the dads go out on a Saturday morning, they go out and do their service project to come, and mom takes care of the kids. But my husband insists, you know, let's do this as a family, even if it's something as simple as delivering meals. We make it a family affair. You know, we drive together. My kids sometimes drop off the food. And when they say, God bless you, they've come back looking so happy. So these are some ways that I try to apply Swami's teachings in my role as a mother.
That sounds really nice and a very comfortable situation. But Lalita, let's talk about the current discourse on women and the workplace with vis-a-vis what Swami says about women's role, especially the role of a caregiver. And Swami says if women go to work, who will look after the children and so on. Now, how does one situate his views with the current day women's aspirations and their professional life and society in general?
If you read Swami's teachings across the decades, he has said various things at various times, correct? Swami has often said a woman as the mother, as the caregiver is the most important. At other times, Swami has said a woman should use her education and her talents for the good of the community, to bring up children, to be virtuous and disciplined, to help the community, to help society. And so, of course, many of us who are working start thinking, so, Swami, are we not supposed to work then? What are we supposed to do? But then again, Swami has clarified and said, no, of course, a woman is a very good workplace person. He said a woman can accomplish a lot more in the workplace. They're very dedicated workers. They are excellent at what they do. And if a family prevents a woman from using her talents for the good of the society and profession, that's a shame. That's what Swami has said. So then you start wondering, Karuna, at different times Swami has said different things. What do we do? Right? And then we say, Swami has also said that if you see a child, you give a child a certain level of, you know, maybe a sweet or a biscuit. If he's a little older person, you give a little higher. So I think Swami has said that at various times you may be ready to listen to various parts of my teachings which apply to you. Correct? So sometimes they may be specific to you, sometimes specific to somebody else based on what level they are at.
They customize.
So I would always say to my SSE children, also with the youth in my age, I say always read in the entirety of Swami's teachings so that you know where you are at and what applies to you and what you can apply in your life. And so at this stage we say Swami has said women should work in the professions. They should contribute their talents to the good of society. And you quoted the Vedas very well that not only they should work for themselves and their families, they should work for the good of the society.
And that's for government and ride a chariot.
Right. And that is where we need to transcend this discourse from just our person to our family, to the community and the government and society and our country. Right.
Now, as an academician who has studied this subject quite closely, what are your thoughts on a woman's right to compete in the workplace? Because it's a dog-eat-dog world outside. Everybody is competing, and woman is competing against her colleagues at workplace, but also against time, against her family duties. So where does this fit in, this concept of women competing in the workplace?
Yeah. I go back to what Anu just referred to as looking at your job also as Swami's work. Just as you look at your family and your duties at home, as same way we should also look at our job. And when we do that and we do our jobs with utmost sincerity as Swami's work, I think in some sense that takes the competition out of it, right? Because when you do very well, when you dedicate it to Swami and you do well, you automatically elevate your work to a higher level, and that itself puts you in a competitive position without you being aggressive about it or trying too hard to be aggressive about it, to move up in the workplace. Okay? So recently, Satya Nadella from Microsoft had come, And he had said that, you know, women, if they do well, automatically they'll be competitive in the workplace. And there was a big hue and cry about what he said.
It became
a very big issue. But it is true for both men and women, right? It's not just true for women.
That he said they shouldn't be asking for raises.
So that part was a little inelegantly stated, as he said.
Yes.
But his base core idea was that if you do your work very well, you'll be automatically competitive. And that's the only thing I would add is that that's true for men also and not just for women.
Mm-hmm.
And this brings me to the next point about what Swami said.
May I just agree here, please? Because I think women sometimes have to work twice as hard to get the same, to get noticed as much as their colleague. I think women really do, in many workplaces, beyond a certain level, there is a glass ceiling. And I do find a lot of working women tell me that they work almost twice as hard as their male colleagues to find the same, to attract the same kind of attention or recognition which takes them up. Maybe in the long term, the theory of karma kicks in and eventually you make it to CEO. But first few years can be very, very brutal on women who are trying to get past the entry-level jobs.
That is absolutely true. At the same time, we have to wonder at the personal level, how far are we going to go to step over that line, right? And do you want to be, at the professional level, do you want to be aggressive and competitive? Because Swami has also talked about, you know, the feminine qualities, which I call values, not just qualities, of prema, sahana, tyaga, right? And he says that if women bring these values to the workplace, the workplace can be transformed. Right? So maybe, you're right, it's not an overnight change, but maybe in the long run, these qualities that he says women innately have of prema, sahana, tyaga are what we teach as human values to our children, right? We don't say these are just feminine qualities when we talk about prema, sahana, tyaga, right? So if we...
Go ahead.
If more and more women enter the workplace and actually practice these values which Swami says they innately have, can we transform a workplace so that it becomes more even?
Go ahead.
I believe I've been fortunate. You know, my bosses have been very kind to me. In fact, my group, we started off with 15 people in my group about 5 years ago. And with the recession and everything, we've had so many layoffs. And there have been 7 people were let go from my team at one time. And then several others jumped ship. We are down to 2 people doing the work of 15 people. So it comes back to, you know, quality. You know, how well do you do your job? And are you argumentative? Are you picking fights? Are you just doing what you're told? Or are you going above and beyond? So I feel it's fair. Maybe I've been lucky, but it's been very, my life has been good. I have no complaints in the workplace about, you know, any of that.
But maybe you work in a progressive workplace that follows
that too.
The employment equity legislation and so on. Not all women all over the world are that fortunate. And right now we're addressing issues concerning professional women, but women work everywhere, farming women, laborers, blue-collar jobs. And those are areas where they have to constantly work twice, sometimes as hard. Even the wages for women laborers and women farmers are lower per day as compared to their male counterparts. So there are areas where women make tremendous sacrifices just to earn a lot less than even men. And especially if it's the economic necessity. A woman cannot be choosy, picky and say no if she's the sole breadwinner or a single parent or so on. Now, that brings me to this idea of what can men do to help women achieve their goals and make their lives perhaps more hassle-free? Anu, what are your thoughts on that?
I think we need their encouragement, their support. And as a wife, I can tell you my husband is extremely supportive of me. Like, I get called to speak at retreats and he says, I'll cover the home front. You go ahead and do your thing. And if he didn't do that, if I felt I was compromising, I wouldn't even go. So you need that support as a wife, even if you have a father at home, you need that support. You need their cooperation. Something very, very simple that I want to mention, like at the Atlanta Sai Center, I was helping with a lot of coordination for the Ladies' Day practices. And typically at our center, the altars are very extensive and beautiful, world famous, I would say. Usually the women take care of the decoration and the flowers and all of that is done by the women. But for Ladies' Day practices, the gents decided to pitch in and they said, you know, you need to set aside some time for practices. We'll take care of this. So you need that cooperation, that a little bit of give and take needs to be there. And we should be treated as equals, as ardhangini, and not, we shouldn't have to ask for that. See, can you let us do this? We shouldn't have to ask for it. It should be given to us. It's our birthright.
Mm-hmm. Now, and that reminds me, some people feel that once a month celebration of Ladies' Day or once a year is tokenism. What about the rest of the year? What do you both think?
Frankly, Karuna, I think that every day is Ladies' Day, and every day is Men's Day, and every day is Children's Day, and Grandparents' Day, and Parents' Day, any hallmark label that you want to attach to it. So, yes, every day is Ladies' Day. At the same time, at the organization level, I think it's good to have one day set aside. Mm-hmm. In Boston area, we do it differently. The women organize workshops where all of them can come together and talk about different themes of interest to them. It could be work-life balance, it could be spirituality, it could be many different themes. But lately, we have also been saying, why don't you invite the men as well to come and listen and not just leave it to the women. So yes, it's good to have one or two events during the year to focus on the theme of women, but I think every day should be Ladies' Day.
I agree, yes. Every day is Ladies' Day. Shouldn't be. It is Ladies' Day.
Now, you spoke of what men can do to help women achieve their goals. What about women? What can women do to encourage their fellow women to achieve their goals?
I think we women are our worst critics. You know, we suffer from jealousy, excessive talking, and we can't stand it when another woman is getting praised or if someone is singing a bhajan better than you. We can handle that. Again, it comes back to doing sadhana, you know, following Swami's teachings and you look in the mirror before you point at someone else and say, here, you're making a mistake here. You look in the mirror and you correct yourself before you go in to correct someone else. And that is the department I think we all, it's a work in progress even for me, and that's the department I think all women are a little bit behind in.
And I know you grew up as a student here, and Swami, I remember Swami, as everyone does, saying that in entire creation, humanity is the best, and in humanity, it's the women who are the crown jewel because of the divine qualities they carry. Yet, as students, the kind of physical attention that was meted out to us was different from that of boys. The boys enjoyed amazing divine proximity. The girls were generally at an arm's length. How do you process that?
I like to believe that they needed more attention. I like to believe that the boys really need
that.
You're
not consoling yourself, are you?
No, I'm not. Because I have seen Swami interact with me. When I was a student, I felt Swami came out for darshan that day just for me. He made me feel special. So I'm not in that category that feels jealous about the brothers. You know, they are my brothers. So I feel they really needed it more. And I also believe that personally, when Swami told me something, I decided to follow. I was obedient. And maybe that's another department maybe the brothers lack in. I like to believe that. And I want to bring something up here. You know, I read somewhere that Bhakta Mira was once trying to get into a temple in Vrindavan, and the attendants of the priest stopped her, and they said, you know, our guru here, the priest here, does not see women. You know, he's taken this vow, so you cannot enter. And then she goes, ah, I see. I thought all of human creation, all of us human beings were women. And God, He's the only Parama Purusha. So that way, I don't think Swami saw us as a soul. He didn't see me as Anuradha, and He didn't see you as Karuna. He saw us, our souls. He doesn't see us with all this garb. So that way, I don't feel Swami saw any difference at all. And I have seen pictures of my seniors. Unfortunately, during my time as a student, Swami did not visit Anantapur. But I have seen pictures, and I'm sure, Karuna Didi, you'd vouch for it. I have seen girls do bhangra in front of Swami. I've seen girls on rollerblades. And you have seen in sports meet how the girls do all kinds of stunts. They jump through fire. They're on motorbikes. So I don't think Swami treated us any differently. If anything, for the common public, it may seem like Swami favored the boys, but I feel He was protective of us as a father. And I recently lost my father, and I can tell you that my father did not want me learning Bharatanatyam. He said, I don't want you to be out there dancing in front of other people. So that's how Swami looked at us girls. That's what I'd like to believe.
I was not a student in the sense of being a student of the Satya Sai organizations. At the same time, I can say that, yes, Swami might have outwardly looked like He was giving more attention to the world, but none of us who have known Swami over our lifetime can claim that He did not pay us attention, right? Every minute that He has looked after us, whether it's in our studies or family or going abroad or coming, I feel that the last 25 years of my life that I'm aware of, Swami has guided every move that I have made, including coming back to Bangalore, staying with my parents now. You know, they are looking after me, I'm looking after them. It's such a rewarding experience, and I feel Swami was at the bottom of this. So how can we say that Swami was not paying me attention simply because I did not get to sit on the veranda? It doesn't matter. I was in Boston and Swami was with me every minute. I feel He guided my life. And so,
and I think millions of women will completely concur with you. Yes,
Anna? If you have a couple of minutes, I'd like to share something I read in a talk that our Professor Hemalata Madam, she was a principal at the time I was a student. Yes. She says at the time of the groundbreaking ceremony in Anandpur, Swami came in for the ceremony. Swami used to visit Anandpur campus so many times at that time. This was, I believe, in the year 1969, a year after the campus was inaugurated. And they were getting ready to make the markings for where the boundary would come. And Swami called Professor Hemalata's husband, and he tells him, I want you to go further away and throw a stone. And then everybody was like, what is Swami, what's this all about? And then, now Professor Hemalata's husband was the tallest and the biggest of all the men that were there. And when he threw the stone, Swami said, okay, make the marking 50 feet from that. Now, why did Swami do that? He said, you know, in case there was a strike, in case there are any miscreants outside trying to, you know, harm my students, I want them to be protected. Now, what more can I say about Swami being a protective father? So he was more of a father to us than to our brothers. Sorry about that, brothers.
Go ahead, Alita.
I also think Swami was incredibly progressive, because if you think about it, He gave us the opportunity to sit in the mandir and chant, to do the Gayatri Mantra, which many of the priests do not allow. I still have relatives who say women should not chant the Rudram, women should not say the Hanuman Chalisa, women should not do this, and women should not. Swami has never, ever said that. You know, He encouraged us to sit there, learn the Vedam, chant along with the men, sing bhajans along with the men, and that is like, it's very empowering. Right? In many other places, Swami said women can come in at any time of the month, of the year. They can come in to the mandir. There are no restrictions about women coming in. Right? Yes, there is decorum, there is dignity. You have to be dressed a certain way, which is true for the men as well as the women. You have to give that respect to the environment you are in. And you have to do that same in the rest of your life too. How you are in the ashram is how you should be outside the ashram. But Swami is one of the few... Swami is God, we know that, but for the outside world, if you look at it, Swami is one person who has encouraged women to sit and chant along with the men. And you see, you sit in Sai Kulwanthal, you see all these people, regardless of which country they are from, what age they are, sitting and chanting the Vedam.
Very true.
It's incredible. That thing, that gift He has given us, we can never forget. Yeah.
What a progressive God we have, right? How Swami deals with widows. And I once heard from a very senior devotee who used to live in the East Prashanti block that one of the devotees there had a Graha Pravesham ceremony. And this lady, the senior lady, she was actually a young widow at the time. She was not invited to the function. And Swami came for the function and He said, where is this devotee? And they said, Swami, she has not been invited. Swami went to her home and said, come. He brought her and He said, light the lamp, I will see what happens. That's how progressive our Swami is.
Absolutely abolished all these taboos which are man-made.
And I read in a book by, I think it was Mrs. Karunamba Ramamurthy, who used to live here in Prashanthi Nilayam, and she says once a widow was not allowed to perform Sumangali Puja, which is done only by married women whose husbands are alive. And Swami said, why is she not participating in the puja? And He said, real widows are those who do not think of Me. They are real widows. And Swami said, come and participate in the puja. And she was able to do that. So that is how progressive our Swami is.
The only thing I would like to add is that what we see in Swami's actions as being progressive, it is our duty and responsibility to carry to the rest of our life. Right? If we go anywhere, we have family functions, and we see women being treated that way, we should stand up for it and say, no, we will not stand for this. Because Swami is... said this is fine, and this we should. So practicing that, in that is exactly Swami's life being His message. How can we transform that to our life being His message? How can we do that? And if we go to a wedding, if we go to a function, and people, regardless of their status, because all these are man-made statuses, marital status, you know, whether you have children or not, whether you're single or not, whether you're married or not, all these are man-made statuses. God doesn't care about these things. And so how can we do this so that we spread this among our brothers and sisters outside? And these good practices, best practices, are carried to the rest of our life.
You know, Karuna Didi, as you know, my mother was recently widowed. So when I was telling her, Amma, you should come live with me in the US, you know, for a few months, it'll be a good change of mind. She says, you know, the Shastras don't allow me to travel for a year. So maybe I will take this discussion to her and tell her, you know, Mom, you need to come stay with me and we'll come back together for Dad's first year ceremony.
Absolutely.
So that's my takeaway from this discussion today.
Absolutely. There are a lot of taboos, social restrictions. I personally experienced it when I lost my parents. And because we are a family of all girls, for the cremation, the priest told us we could not participate or lead the cremation. And I told him, absolutely not. And I explained to him, I don't know which Veda you're coming from, but when King Janaka passed on, it was Mata Sita who performed his obsequies. And I reminded the priest very incidentally, he has two daughters. So I said, you know, Panditji, one fine day in 100 years from now, when you're going to go to the other side, who do you think is going to light your pyre? You know, unless you're going to beg, borrow, or steal a boy, a son. Mm-hmm. So children are children. It doesn't matter what their gender is. And I found it, I had to sort of explain this to him and convince him for the first time it happened when I lost my mom. By the time my dad's turn came around, he was already accepting of this fact. And recently when I lost my mother-in-law just some weeks ago, he allowed me to pour the ghee and walk around the pyre and take full... He actually said, Madam, please come and do it. Mm-hmm. I said, wow, he's come a long way. He has evolved. So good company helps. And I think if you stand your ground and explain your point... with some clarity, quoting maybe the right sources, it's good to do a little bit of research. Mm-hmm. Nobody can stand up to this kind of man-made craziness. It's all, and Swami has just blown all this away. Right. He was bright sunshine. He blew every cloud of confusion that was created because of misinterpretation of various scriptures. The scriptures don't say, if the scriptures say that women can actually be a member of the legislative assembly, where does it say that a woman cannot step beyond the threshold of her home? Although she has to prioritize and not do it at the obviously at the expense of her home. So Swami put it into perspective so well. Personally for me, Swami is the greatest advocate of women's rights, and I think he's the greatest feminist on earth. The Western feminist movement is so shallow. All it talks of is physical, emotional, financial security and freedom. But what Swami did, he just turned the paradigm upside down. He spoke of the atmic freedom. Where anybody, where anything negative that happens around you does not touch your atma.
In fact, I remember Rita Bruce saying in the first Vision of Sai that she wrote, she said, Swami liberated her from Western feminism.
He
said, Swami liberated me from the women's liberation movement. And that line touched me a lot because, like you said, Swami has redefined what women's liberation should be, what feminism should be. And none of that really shortchanges women. In fact, it elevates women to a different level.
Yeah, and the empowerment is from inside out.
Right,
it's
right,
not from outside in. And much as I appreciate any kind of legislation that aims to give women an equal opportunity at workplace or, you know, provide a level playing ground for men and women, those are necessary, but unless people's mindsets change, all this is all imposed from outside, the quotas, the equal opportunity, the employment equity, these are external. So when people make up their mind to see all of creation as one and see the bigger picture that Swami talks of, then all the barriers just fall by the wayside. Ladies, your final thoughts on women's Swami's expectation of women?
My final thought would be that we have to move beyond this, just the personal and the family. How do we take these teachings that Swami has given us, that he has empowered us with, that we are secure in that empowerment? How do we take that to the society level? How do we participate in the government, in society that you had just read out from the Vedas? For that, we necessarily have to move beyond the personal and the private, and we have to go to the community and do more work. And when you talk about sacrifice, it sometimes has a negative connotation, but Swami also says there's no service without sacrifice. Sacrifice is a positive value that we teach children. So when you say, did you sacrifice anything, that should not be taken as something I lost, right? It's something I gained in trying to serve my family, my homeland, my country.
So. To me, Swami's expectation from women, especially from us as alumni, I think it's character. That comes number one. Swami says end of education is character. And if I have a moment, I'd like to share. I know a senior Sai student once told me that she had a friend whose name was Sita Mahalakshmi. And her parents were looking for a match for her while she was still a student. So when Swami was visiting Anandpur campus, she was trying to approach Swami to say, Swami, they're trying to look for a match. Please find me someone good. And then Swami was trying to ignore her, and she kept approaching Swami. And Swami said, ah, you want a husband like Rama. Her name was Sita Mahalakshmi, remember? You want a husband like Rama, but do you have all the qualities of Sita? So we need to first ask, are we deserving? Are we living life in such a way that we deserve the best? That is something we need to ask. And another time I heard in a talk, someone was getting ready to say, to be or not to be, that is the question. And Swami interrupted him and said, how to be and how not to be, that is the question. Mm-hmm. So that is what all of us need to reflect on. How to be, every time we do something, is this something Swami would approve of? Mm-hmm. We need to ask ourselves that. And then it would be, our lives would be just perfect, just the way He'd want it to be.
So introspection. Yeah, I think I see Ladies' Day as a great opportunity for introspection and to see where we are going and how we treat not only those around us in terms of men, but also fellow women. I think that's a huge responsibility that Sai women have. Knowing what Swami has taught us, to treat other women with more consideration and kindness and greater acceptance, because we can be very judgmental. So even if womankind is nicer to each other, I think the rest will follow. We are the ones who try to create these barriers and taboos and pass very severe judgment sometimes on others and even on ourselves. So I guess it's Ladies' Day is a great time to remind ourselves of the great qualities that Swami speak women have. For example, compassion, caring, sacrifice, love, selflessness, and practice charity can begin at home, but it doesn't have to stop there. It's been great having you both on the show. Any final thoughts?
Thank you for inviting us, Karuna. It was a very unexpected treat to be here and to chat with you and with Anu, and we appreciate it. And this is a wonderful time to be in Prashanthi Nilayam and enjoy all the festivities.
Indeed. Everything in Prashanthi, according to me, is special. It's a blessing.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be in the studio that Swami has visited and sat in that chair. Such
and he's
an
always
honor.
Listening to everything yes, that goes yes. on here.
And we can't tell you what a treat it is to have Radio Sai in our lives, especially when we are far away from our country, from our homes. This is what keeps us going. And I can tell you right now, I have friends in Boston who are listening to this, who wake up early in the morning to listen to the evenings because of the time difference, Vedam chanting, and to listen every series that you have, whether it's the morning program or the fleeting moments, the Shravanam Madanam Nidhadhyam, every one of them, we thoroughly enjoy all the hard work that you put in, night and day, as we are finding out today from you. We really, really appreciate what Swami has gifted us through this Radio Sai.
Well, on behalf of the team, I thank you and I thank all our listeners who keep pouring in their love and loving feedback to us. And that really energizes us. It's so wonderful to know, because for us, in Swami's physical absence, our listeners are Swami.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, ladies. That was a live studio discussion you just heard with Lalita Pulavarti and Anu Venkateshwaran. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did chatting here. I look forward to your feedback by email. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Now, having said that, I just have to give you a quick sneak peek into what happened yesterday. We had a great day at the studio because we had two amazing singers who came to record interviews. The first was Mrs. Kajal Chandidamani, who sang in the mandir on the evening of November 18th. So if you go to radiosai.org and on the home page towards the bottom, there's a section called Video Archives. And just click on it and go to November 18th evening program. She was belting one melodious song after another. And when Kajal came to the studio, it turns out she's been a very spiritual child. Since her childhood, she's been a very spiritual person. And her music is so steeped in her faith. So there's something special about the way she sings. And she just belted out a few numbers in the studio in the course of the conversation. And the power of that music was incredible. Her notes were so pure and organic. There was no instrument. Absolutely crystal clear, melodious voice. It was actually, for me, it was such a treat. I have no idea what happened, but I just couldn't keep my tears back, because the power of that pure love that came through her voice, because she loves Swami so intensely, and every word she sings, especially the Sufi music that she practices, just dedicated to her love for her beloved Lord. And then yesterday evening in the mandir, we had this energetic enthralling and energizing concert by the very famous playback singer from Bollywood, India's very well-known artist, Ms. Richa Sharma. And Richa belted out these phenomenal soulful numbers, and what she did is to involve the audience in the cycle vanthal into her singing. So people were clapping and following and singing with her. And late at night after her dinner, we had an opportunity to record an interview with her. And that was another amazing treat Swami gave us. Because Richa told us how she's been coming here since the age of 3. And that Swami had actually performed the wedding of her sister right here in Puttaparthi in the Kulvant Hall. And how when she finally performed as an artist in Bhagwan's presence in the year 2007, Swami, in the middle of one song, in the middle of a line, he sort of gestured to her. She didn't know whether she was supposed to stop the song or just keep the tempo going and move. So she eventually kept the music going and she walked up to Swami, and Swami materialized this a necklace, a Navratan necklace, which had gems, 9 kinds of gems on it. And he handed it over to her, and she was smart. She made a good move. She just folded her hands and said no. And then Swami again gave her the necklace, and again she said no. And, you know, then she said, you have to put it around my neck, Swami. And then Bhagwan, you know, just garlanded her with those 9 gems. And she said that was really the high point of her entire life. And in the studio, she sang her favorite Sai bhajans, some of the bhajans she had sung in the Kulvant Hall, and a beautiful musical piece called Awal Allah that she has sung for an Indian movie and is extremely well sung again. She has this deep voice, a velvety voice. And for the brothers who worked with me and I and some of the singers who came to the studio just to be a witness to that interview, it was a treat. And we are very hopeful that we'll bring you both those interviews along with the music that these ladies sang for us. We'll make a capsule. It'll be part of our special afternoon program called Love to Love that my colleague, Brother Chandu Vijay, hosts at about 3 in the afternoon. So one of these days, you're going to enjoy these two programs, and I would tell you don't miss them at all, because when they sing in the studio, there's no instrument, nothing. Just from the heart for Swami, that has a rare quality. It's just so from the heart. It actually snaps something inside you when you hear those voices. So I'm on such a high because yesterday was such a musical treat for us in the studio. And on that note, I think I'm going to let you enjoy, give you some information about 2 new products that we are coming up as our offering of love at Bhagwan's lotus feet for his birthday, which is coming up on this coming Sunday. And these are 2 products. One is called Instrumental Bhajans Volume 2 and the other is Nada Brahman 8. And I beg your pardon, 9. So I'm going to play those promos for you just to give you a peek into it. Volume 2. Please enjoy. available for you to take home from our Sai Blossom stores located right outside the Radio Sai office. And this is our special offering at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet, one of our many special offerings at his Lotus Feet on the happy occasion of the 89th birth anniversary of our dear Lord. Into Nadabrahman 9. This is a trailer from our new offering, Nadabrahman Series 9.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Shyam Gopala Madhava Mohana Shyam Gopala Raghukula Bhushana Radhiyanayana Rambanandan Satya Sai Rama Neela Kanta Sadashiva Jagadisha, Jagadisha, Paramesha Sharanam Pahi Gajananam Sharanam Sharanam Pahi Gajananam Sharanam Sharanam Pahi Gajananam Sharanam Sharanam Pahi Gajananam
वासी राम है द्वारक में आए द्वारक वासी श्याम है शिरडी में आए
मानस भजरे गुरु चरणम दुस्तर भव सागर चरणम
ऋषिकेश नारायण परतीशा
Sharana from our new Sai Blossom offering, Nagabrahman 9. Please be sure to collect your copy from the Sai Blossom store located outside the studio. Nagabrahman 9.
ధారమనా గిరిధారీ గోవింద నీల మేఘ సుందర నారాయణ గోవింద జగదోధారా హరి విఠలా
Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Sairam, dear listeners, thank you for staying tuned to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Coming to you live, as the name suggests, from the Radio Sai Studios in Prashanti Nilayam, India, the seat of absolute truth, auspiciousness and beauty. The time in the ashram right now is 40 minutes past 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time, and today is the 20th of November 2014, another 2 days to go before the big day, the 89th birth anniversary of the Sri Satya Sai Avatar, which falls on November the 23rd. Earlier on the show, you heard a live studio discussion on the significance of Ladies' Day with my studio guests, Anu Venkateshwaran and Dr. Lalita Pulavarti. I hope you found it meaningful. We look forward to your feedback by email at listener@radiosai.org. And now it's time for me to bid you Sai Ram. I hope the rest of your day is Sai-some awesome. This is Karuna signing off from a very festive and joyful Prashanti Nilayam where divine love is in the air. Now till Professor G. Venkatraman signs in, please enjoy a few melodious bhajans. And I just forgot to ask you, I hope you enjoyed Nagabrahman 9. We played the trailer for you and this is our offering at the Lotus Feet for the 89th birthday. And these products, the Instrumental Volume 2, Instrumental Bhajans Volume 2 and Nagabrahman Volume 9 will be available for your listening pleasure and for you to take back a copy from the Sai Blossom store located outside the Radio Sai office in the ashram. You can also go to our website at Sai Blossom and order them online. Thank you for your company and please enjoy the bhajans.
राम चरण सुखदाई भजो रे राम चरण सुखदाई भजो रे राम चरण सुखदाई भजो रे राम चरण सुखदाई भजो re
Ram charan sukhdai bhajo re Ram naam ke do akshar शांति समाई रे
सब सुख शांति समाई रे
सब सुख शांति समाई रे
सब सुख शांति समाई रे
साईनाथ के चरणों में आकर
साईनाथ के
साईनाथ के चरणों में आकर
साईनाथ के चरणों में
आकर जीवन सफल बनाओ सफल बनाओ रे
जीवन सफल बनाओ रे
राम चरण सुखदाई भजो रे
राम चरण सुखदाई भजो रे
राम चरण सुखदाई भजो रे